When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Billboard's Senior Director of Charts.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
You know, it's funny, Katie and I were just talking a moment ago about sort of the audio dramas we are having lately between the cricket in her garage and me trying to find a location in my house that doesn't have weird feedback coming through my microphone. You know, pandemic, it's crazy what it does to the podcast.
Yes, 100%. We're going to call them audio oddities because it has a fun ring to it.
Audio oddities, oddities. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Ed Sheeran's new album, Equals, debuts atop the Billboard 200, how Adele's Easy On Me stays firm at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart for a third straight week, and how Glass Animals' slow-burning hit, Heat Waves, breaks the record for the longest climb to the top 10 on the Hot 100.
Also on the show, we're talking about the latest news from the tragic Astroworld Festival, where 8 concertgoers died during Travis Scott's Friday night performance. Plus, in much, much lighter news, the casting of Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo in the movie adaptation of Wicked was announced last week, and Keith and I will talk all about what it all means in just a minute. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
All right, let's do the chart chat.
Let's.
First up, friend of the podcast, Ed Sheeran, debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart with his latest studio album, Equals. The set opens atop the list with 118,000 equivalent album units earned in the U.S. in the week ending November 4th, according to MRC data. Over half of that sum was driven by album sales, and the set actually sold 68,000 copies in its first week. That's the second largest sales week for an album by a male artist in 2021. Only the debut of Morgan Wallen's Dangerous, the double album, posted a bigger sales week among male artists this year when it sold 74,000 copies in its first week back in January. Katie, Ed was the musical guest this past weekend on Saturday Night Live. Of course, he performed, but he also turned up in a skit that I want to bring attention to. It was the recurring skit, the Dionne Warwick talk show, where Dionne Flippin' Warwick herself showed up. And she basically talked to herself. It was amazing. I just want to enthuse about it.
I can't believe I didn't see it. I am a very regular SNL watcher and have not seen this past weekend's episode yet. It's on the DVR waiting for me, and now I'll get to it even sooner because of this information.
It was just Dionne Warwick is a Blinken legend. And the fact that she was able to be on the show and sort of be good natured about kind of the whole thing. And also, we got to actually hear Dionne sing a little bit at the end of it, too.
I love it. And
with her fake doppelganger.
Well, I was going to say her fake doppelganger, who's played by Ego and Woldem on SNL, is
who also has a great voice, by the way.
Yeah. And all, I mean, she just kills it. The very first time they did that skit, I mean, Dionne, you know, tweeted, as she does, about how much she loved the portrayal. And I feel like that's not always the case of people on SNL.
Yeah.
But Dionne clearly loves it because she showed up. So that's awesome.
Well, next up, staying with the Billboard 200, the Grateful Dead chart their landmark 50th top 40 album as their latest archival release. Dave's Picks Volume 40 enters at number 13. It's the group's highest debuting album ever.
Wow.
And their highest charting album since 1987, when In the Dark peaked at number 6. And Grateful Dead isn't known for having hit singles, but the In the Dark album is their one album that has a hit single. Touch of Grey is on that album, and Touch of Grey is their one and only top 40 and top 10 hit on the Hot 100 chart. So, of course, it kind of made sense that that album that it came from was a big hit on the Billboard 200. All that said, the new Dave's Picks Volume 40 album compiles two 1990 Grateful Dead concerts that were held in Noblesville, Indiana that year, and it's across four CDs. And this package is actually limited to just 25,000 pressings, 25,000 CDs. They're all, I guess, individually numbered. This is kind of, though, kind of par for the course for the Grateful Dead. They release these archival live albums every few months. So you can fully expect they'll probably get a few more top 40 albums in the next year or two. But all that said, Katie, since the Billboard 200 began regularly publishing on a weekly basis in March of 1956, can you guess how many acts, including the Grateful Dead, have charted at least 50 top 40 albums?
I mean, maybe I should guess how many acts have released 50 albums. That's such a wild number. Okay, my shot in the dark guess is going to be 25.
You are way off.
Way off. Am I way under or way over?
Way over.
Okay, so now I'm going to go with fewer than 10.
You are correct. There are fewer than 10.
Okay.
So the Grateful Dead have had 50. Bob Dylan's had 51. Barbra Streisand's had 54.
Wow.
Elvis Presley, as if he needs a last name.
One. I mean, there is Costello, sure.
has 57. And the artist with the most top 40 albums is Frank Sinatra with 58.
So was that five that you just listed?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five acts.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Well, those are legends. Legends only.
Legends only. All right. Lastly, over on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, Adele's Easy On Me stays put at number one for a third straight week, while Glass Animals heats up the top 10 with their long simmering hit Heat Waves.
Oh, man.
I know. As the track climbs 13 to 10. Now, that completes the longest climb to the top 10 in the history of the chart. The track rises to the top 10 in just its 42nd week. Mm. The previous slowest climb was, at least in terms of total chart weeks, was tallied by Carrie Underwood's Before He Cheats, which took 38 weeks to get to the top 10 back in 2007. Heat Waves is also Glass Animals' first top 10 and their first Hot 100 hit altogether.
The Billboard Music Awards look very, you know, prescient. We had them on in the spring. They performed Heat Waves back in, April?
Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, funny that you mentioned that, Katie, and you didn't even plan that. Gary Trust, who manages the Hot 100, of course, he explains online in his story about this that Heat Waves, its trajectory to the top 10 is not entirely unfamiliar for songs that take a long time to get to the top 10 or the top 20 because it was a crossover hit. It started off as a hit on alternative rock radio back at the top of the year. Eventually, it crossed over to top 40 and adult pop radio by the summertime, which is probably one of the reasons why the producers of the Billboard Music Awards booked them on the show. And now here we are, so many months later, the song finally cracks the top 10. And, you know, with the way the Hot 100 works lately, with Dua Lipa's Levitating hanging out for as long as it did in the top 10, who knows how long Heatwaves may be in the top 10 now.
I know, it took Glass Animals the same amount of weeks to get to the top 10 as Dua's just been hanging out there. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, but it's all so amazing. It's all great. So congratulations to Glass Animals on their first top 10 and a record in doing so at the same time.
Definitely. Great song, too. That's why it's still hanging around. And now it's time for the biggest headlines over on Billboard.com. And we are starting with the tragic news out of Houston over the weekend. You know, news is continuing to emerge about the deadly crowd surge at Travis Scott's Astroworld Festival on Friday night, where at least 8 people died. More than a dozen people remain hospitalized today, Monday, when we're recording, and hundreds more were injured. The fatalities happened during Scott's final set of the evening when fans surged toward the stage and pushed so close together that they reportedly couldn't move their arms or breathe. An estimated 50,000 people were in attendance at NRG Park, and Saturday's day 2 of the festival was canceled following the deaths. So what happened and the 8 victims' causes of death are still being determined and investigated right now. But in a statement released Monday, Scoremore Shows, which produced the event alongside Live Nation, announced full refunds would be coming to all concertgoers and that they are working on ways to support the attendees, the families of victims, and staff. Travis Scott also said he will be covering the funeral costs for all the fans who lost their lives, as well as providing free mental health services to those in attendance. So that is the latest on just an absolutely tragic story. I'm sure, Keith, you know, it's one that you saw and followed over the weekend as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, along with a lot of other people, saw on social media fan accounts.
Oh my gosh.
Their experiences at the show. And there was a Instagram post that went viral that I shared on my social media. It was just harrowing.
Her name was Sienna. And in addition to experiencing this absolutely, you know, chilling thing, she could not have conveyed more just like viscerally what she went through. It was crazy to read that and feel like you were in that crowd and as helpless as she felt and trying to do as much as she could.
Yeah, she was. I mean, you can find it online. It's fairly easy to find. But, you know, for those listening, I mean, if you haven't read it, it's basically just a very vivid description of what it was like to be in this crowd where you felt like you were just it might be the end.
Right.
You know, and it read like a horror story. I cannot even imagine. I know that not all festivals are like this. This isn't the way these shows all turn out. This is just an unusual situation. And I'm sure so millions and millions of people go to concerts and festivals all the time. But, you know, it was just something else. And hopefully, I don't even know what's next. I don't know what could possibly happen to have made this better. It seems like there's a lot of allegations and a lot of sort of accusations that are being thrown around right now to the event producers and to the artists and to Travis himself about the show and what could have been done better or what could, you know, how could, didn't they know? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. I realize I'm blathering here, but I think we're all blathering right now.
I think that, you know, answers will emerge as we find out more about it. Of course, the victims are unbelievably young. The youngest one was 14 years old. So that's an extra sad aspect of this whole thing. I heard about a victim who not one of the people who died, but somebody who was hospitalized was 10 years old. So, just an incredibly sad event. And, you know, like we said, we'll keep following it and we'll know more when, you know, when the investigations continue. And for now, we'll just have to kind of wait and see what might, you know, what effect this could have going forward on future events, or, you know, what could have been done differently, or, you know, all
of
that.
I mean, I'll shut up. But I mean, I feel like anyone who goes to any event like this is going with the expectation that they're going to have a fun, enjoyable time. They're going to survive the evening. They are not going to get hurt.
That's some bare minimum, yeah.
They're not. I'm like, yes, we all know that there's lots of mosh pits and, you know, some aggressive fans sometimes at shows, but no one goes into a situation like this expecting that they're going to come home hurt. You know, maybe people will be kind of rowdy because that's kind of the vibe of the show, but no one's expecting that you're going to get hurt at a show. And it's just, all this is just so tragic. So
yep.
We'll see where this goes in the next few days.
Yeah, absolutely. So just stay tuned to Billboard.com for the latest. I mean, like I said, we're recording on Monday, so by the time you listen to this on Tuesday, there could be even more developments. So just stick with us and we'll let you know when we know more. So moving on to some much lighter news over on Billboard.com. Last week on Thursday, Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo revealed that they are starring in a movie adaptation of the hit Broadway musical Wicked. So the two stars shared Instagram photos from a tearful video call where they learned they'd be starring as the witches from the Land of Oz. Grande will be playing Glinda the Good Witch, who was, of course, made famous by Kristen Chenoweth in the original 2003 Broadway production, while Erivo will portray Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West, which was the role originated by Idina Menzel. So Grande and Erivo both have histories with Broadway, of course. The Thank You Next pop star got her start in the 2008 Broadway musical 13 as a teenager before breaking out on Nickelodeon's Victorious and then its spinoff, Sam and Cat. While Erivo won the 2016 Tony Award for Best Performance by a Leading Actress in a Musical for her portrayal of Celie in The Color Purple. So all this to say, this is just perfect casting, I would say. that entire sure. lead up was just to say, you know, this is honestly, I haven't heard any complaints is what I'm saying. I guess the one complaint is like that it's not, you know, Kristen and Idina circa 15 years ago playing these parts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think even just sort of like casual Ariana Grande fans will know that she's a huge Wicked fan herself.
Yes.
And I mean, we've talked about her on this show where she was in a TV special saluting Wicked where she performed.
That was 2018, and it was an NBC special called A Wicked Halloween. They did a little, you know, perfect little witchy timing with Halloween 3 years ago. And I believe it was The Wizard and I is the song that Ariana performed. And yeah, she's always had like this public love fest with Idina and Kristen as well. Kristen actually just served
on the
as
Voice
her mentor
with,
on The Voice just a few weeks ago that aired. And Kristen actually shared a lovely message on Instagram congratulating Ari on this role and sharing a photo of Ariana as a child backstage at a production of Wicked with Kristen.
I mean,
I mean, it's just wild. And then there's actually a tweet, and I think Kristen shared this as well, a tweet that Ari sent, and it was like almost exactly 10 years ago, saying how desperate she was to play Glinda someday. So it's just, it's meant to be. Chills. Yeah. I get chills.
And also, Ariana was, as Katie mentioned, you know, Ariana was on Broadway and we know her to be an amazing singer, but she's also like a really a great actress with great comedic timing. And she was also in the live TV production adaptation of Hairspray, the musical. So I think all this is just adding up to this is going to be it's positioning itself to be something great. So we shall
see. And then on the other end of things, we have Cynthia, who is an Oscar-nominated actress, in addition to being a Tony-winning actress, and has the massive voice needed for this role of Elphaba. I mean, I wonder, actually, maybe we need to like talk to Steven Schwartz on an episode or something. But like, I wonder if a lot of these songs that were in the original 2003 production, when they were like workshopped with Idina, if they took them higher and bigger, you know, and bolder because Idina was capable of it, you know. And so it's maybe hard for a lot of vocalists to keep up with that. But Cynthia is one of those vocalists who can. So it's just, she's also the perfect foil for Ariana in this part. It's like they just nailed it. I feel like if you just like had a dream board of who to cast and hope that they were available and interested and capable, then here we are.
Well, speaking of that, do we think that we'll get cameos from Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel in the film?
I mean, that would be wonderful, right? I mean, a little nod, because like I said, I'm sure the literal only complaint about this would be like just dreaming of maybe seeing those two on the big screen, since they are sort of, you know, inseparable from these parts because of,
I mean, they were just on the Tony Awards a few weeks ago singing together.
Exactly. Yeah. But it also, like I said, Kristen shared this lovely message. She obviously has, you know, they have their blessing. And so the idea of them being involved in some way is not far fetched, I don't think. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know exactly what that would be, what that would look like. But well, maybe I they could like play it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we always have. People always want like some bit of nostalgia in things. You know, like, oh, why can't they be in it? It's like, you know, sometimes maybe they don't even, maybe they're not even in it. Maybe they just, I don't know.
And also, let's look at some recent examples. The most recent, of course, being friend of the podcast, Ben Platt in Dear Evan Hansen, who got all sorts of crap about not looking like a teenager anymore because this role that he originated on Broadway was, you know, a few years ago at this point. Or even look at Idina herself in Rent. And a lot of people complained about that casting as well, or that it didn't translate quite as well from the stage to the screen with that group. Rosario Dawson notwithstanding, because she was the only person who wasn't in the original cast who was in the movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, so maybe, I mean, maybe it's for good.
Okay, Keith.
Okay, so they've only announced Grande and Erivo so far as the casting, but one can imagine
that we know the director too, John M. Chu, who just did In the Heights, and he also did Crazy Rich Asians, but just on the musical front, he just did In the Heights.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, there's lots of other sort of plum roles in the movie. We would assume if they're going to use the roles that we're familiar with from the show itself, there's the wonderful Wizard of Oz himself. Don't forget the leading heartthrob, Fierro. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on Broadway, Fierro has been played by everyone from Joey McIntyre to Aaron Tveit to Taye Diggs to Justin Guarini and even Ashley Parker Angel. So
you're saying dreamy. We need someone dreamy.
So Shawn Mendes.
Like, some dreamy
this.
Casting.
Like, yes. like basically just cast your favorite, like, sort of dreamboat in this role.
Who do you think is handsome and can sing?
There you go. Can they dance? There you go. Also, I immediately started thinking, because I tend to do this, the movie soundtrack, I tend to think is what Keith means. The movie soundtrack is going to be bonkers. Just imagine if they also have Ariana and Cynthia contribute maybe like new original songs that maybe they help write.
They almost have to, right? I mean, and not to get way ahead of ourselves, but
let's.
The idea of that being something would not be Oscar eligible if it was not an original song. So let's just, you know, put the cart in front of the horse or whatever the saying is, and say that, like, of course, they're going to gun for that original song Oscar.
Absolutely. You know, Stephen Schwartz is.
And he's involved in the movie, so it's like it's a no-brainer that Stephen Schwartz is already dreaming up. And maybe, to be fair, maybe over the last, whatever it's been, 17, 18 years, he thought, ooh, I should have put that one song in that we workshopped and we dropped off or something. You know, there might be something like that kicking around. But although, do they each get their own original, or does somebody have to do like a
why can't it,
you know,
be
rock,
like
paper,
another
scissors?
Duet?
Oh, a duet. It could be another duet. That would be
like a new duet that they both get to co-write with Stephen Schwartz.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I want to point out that Cynthia Erivo is a double Oscar nominee for the film Harriet for both lead actress, and she co-wrote the song Stand Up from the film.
Mm-hmm.
And then keeping this theme going, we have two other fairly recent double nominees for the same film, both from the world of pop, you know, music and the world of music.
I know about Mary J. Blige, who's the other. Oh, Mary J. Blige was from Mudbound, right?
Mudbound.
The Netflix movie.
Well, she was nominated for Best Actress in a Supporting Role, and she co-wrote the song that was nominated for Best Original Song, Mighty River. Lady Gaga.
Her.
For A Star Is Born, for Shallow. Come on.
Well, the one that won the Oscar. Is that the one you speak of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, and you also just triggered something else in my mind. Cynthia is actually only an Oscar shy of an EGOT. She has an EG and a T. And she actually did it. Paul Grine, our awards editor, wrote a really interesting article a few years back about the sort of shortcut to getting very close to an EGOT, and that would be starring in a super buzzy Broadway musical, because once you star in it, then you could get your Grammy from the cast album, and then you could get your daytime Emmy from performing that song on a daytime talk show.
That's how he got his Grammy, his Tony, yep, and his Emmy.
And so this is a common thing. He's not the only one. Cynthia's done it as well. And of course, she has already been nominated for an Oscar, as Keith mentioned. But this feels like she could get that Oscar either for performing or for the song. And it should also be pointed out that at the Tony Awards, Idina, so in the role of Elphaba, is the one that won the Tony over her co-star Kristen, who was she was nominated against as Glinda. So if we're looking at what's the meatier award catnip role, it's probably Cynthia's over Ariana's.
Yeah. Kristen Chenoweth is a Tony Award winning actress. She
Correct.
Won the Tony for Your Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Just not for Wicked.
Just not for Wicked.
Yes.
Wow, we can go in deep on this. I'm looking forward to this. I mean,
I wonder if they get sketchy too, and like, you know, in the movie, maybe Glinda has a lesser role so she can be nominated as supporting actress.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And make Elphaba the one true star. Who knows?
Obviously, Katie and I like this show.
I've actually only seen it a production one time.
I've only seen a production one time. It's expensive to see this show.
This is true. I saw it in Detroit. I got to go with my mother-in-law over Christmas one year. The music is just fabulous. And obviously that you can enjoy over and over and over again without spending $200 on a, you know, Broadway or off Broadway ticket. But yeah. I think we can safely say we're excited about this casting.
Yeah.
And I believe it's, oh gosh, I'm going to mess this up. I was looking at, I know it goes into production next year, and I don't know if they've set an exact release date yet.
2028.
Maybe. Yeah, right. Exactly. So we'll keep you posted about when this thing is actually coming. But in the meantime, we'll just be over here getting real excited about it. And like, just watching Ariana's Instagram for any and all details to come.
Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. In light of the news of Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo set to star in the film adaptation of the Broadway musical Wicked, I thought it would be fun to play a short quiz, Katie, again.
Oh, man, here we are.
About Broadway cast albums on the Billboard 200 chart. So
okay,
it's a fairly simple question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you name the last cast recording to hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart? And I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
It wasn't Wicked, because Wicked's original Broadway cast album peaked at number 66 in 2014.
Is it Hamilton?
Nope.
Oh.
Hamilton went top five, but not number one.
Okay. Is it, what frame of time are we speaking of?
Many, many, many years ago.
Okay, so let's go back to like Hair.
You are correct. It was Hair in 1969. It spent 13 weeks at number one.
Amazing. Okay, that was pretty good.
Yeah, so there you have it. Just a very short Broadway themed.
It's a fantastic album that had a lot of hit, like crossover hit songs, not just like, you know, among the Broadway fans.
Oh, yeah. Like even if you have never seen the show, you may be aware of songs from the show because they became like covered by other pop artists who then made those versions hit singles.
Or maybe you saw 40-Year-Old Virgin and the final scene to set to, like, Let the Sun Shine In and Age of Aquarius.
Sure.
Maybe that's what you saw.
All right, so there's the chart stat of the week. Yay, boom, bap. All right, Katie, we've reached the end of our big shoe. Any parting words?
I just thought of something really good to go out on. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I didn't think about this until just the second. Do you remember that Ariana did like a version of the song Popular, but like as a pop song? I think it might have been with like Mika.
You know what I'm talking about? I believe so. Yeah, I do.
I can't believe I didn't think of this until this exact second, but we got to go out on that.
We'll go out on that, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. I know about popular. It's not about who you are or your musical.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.